So Lord, to help our words to be a blessing and a challenge to us today. It's good to see each one of you here, and I'm real thankful that we have the steadfastness of the Scripture and the Word of God. And I'm interested today in talking to us about some action. Down through the my lifetime, there's been all kinds of actions taken, and you know, some of these I remember I don't know how long this far this dates back, but they had all of these we have these things they call action figures and superheroes, and these years ago, they had these things they called transformers. They would transform from a piece of, some kind of mechanical device to supposed to look like a person. And I'm not going down those paths, but I want us to think about action today. Proverbs talks about going past the field of the slothful and things being deteriorated. So the option of that would be action, something that would be productive. So I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 11th verse beginning. Thank you. Commonplace for us to read. We've talked about this passage in times past a lot. He says, these things command and teach. So that sounds like something that's supposed to be done, doesn't it? It says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So we have quite a list of things that are to be done. But I'm not wanting to dwell this morning on the actual things, the actual actions. But I want us to focus on the idea that action is required. All right. He said here in the 11th verse, these things command and teach. So he's going to give, we know that to expect that there's a list of something that's going to follow that when he says these things command and teach. But he says here in the 12th verse, let no man despise thy youth. I believe we can apply that to physical age, if you're a young person, or it could apply to someone that is young in the Lord. A youth as far as when it comes to salvation. But in reality, all of us need to accept this as a personal responsibility. He says, be thou an example. So to be an example is going to require some action. Would you agree? We're going to have to do something to be an example. If I'm going to be an example for my children, then I have to do something that I intend for them to follow. If I'm going to be an example in my occupation, in my line of work, then I have to do something where others can look on and say, well, that's the way they did it. That's what they did. And follow that example. Whatever we're doing, that's the point I want us to get right here. He says, be thou an example of the believers. So we are called to action. Our responsibility in life is not just to know what to do, but to do something. All right? So we have to have a plan to follow. We have to have an example to follow. And we could preach another message maybe at some time about our example. Christ tells us that He was our example. And that's something that, but for us to, for anything to be accomplished, then we have to do something. There has to be an action involved. I'm not talking about creating righteousness in ourselves, but we have to be willing to step out. Action is required. I'd like to move over now to Luke, the 10th chapter, and notice something that Jesus says here. It's at a kind of a crucial point. He tells a story here of the parable of a good Samaritan. You're all probably all familiar with that, about the man that had been taken advantage of and been mistreated, and he was robbed, and he was hurting. His clothing was in disrepair, and there were those that came by that were felt too lofty, and they didn't feel like that was their job to do, but they just went on by. And someone that came by that helped this man was identified as being a Samaritan. And a Samaritan was about as palatable to the Jews as the most disgusting thing that you can think of. To be a Samaritan was the scum of the earth, according to the Jews. So this Samaritan came by and noticed, like everyone else did, that this man had been taken advantage of. He had been robbed. He'd been beat up. He was wounded. I think he was wounded to the point that he couldn't really get himself to shelter. That's my perception, because it says that he put him up on his donkey and he took him to a place of shelter and asked the innkeeper to care for him. You remember that story? Okay, so the Samaritan came along and observed that. The others that had went on by had seen it too, but they didn't do anything. There was no action involved. But the Samaritan came by, took care of the man's immediate needs, and made arrangements to take care. He wanted the man to be restored to health and able to take care of himself. And when he did that, he went down in the account in the scriptures. Jesus told this as a parable. It says he calls him a good Samaritan. All right? So when someone does something that helps another person, it's pretty easy for us to put the label good on it, isn't it? Somebody does something for you, we can say, well, I had a really good neighbor. He came over and I got my lawnmower stuck in the ditch, and he came over and helped me get it out of my mud hole or whatever it is. Well, that's a good neighbor. It's easy to say that. If the neighbor just drove by and kind of looked over there and looked at you when he drove by in his vehicle and got out of his car and went in the house and never came over here, we would just call him a neighbor, right? We wouldn't call him a good neighbor. But this Samaritan got elevated to good because he did something. All right? So I want to read here in Luke, the 10th chapter. I want to read the 37th verse. And this is why Jesus ended this parable up. He told the parable and then he said, "He that shewed mercy to him." Let me read 36. He says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that shewed mercy on him." So that was the response of the one that had come up and asked the question to start with, "Who is my neighbor?" And then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Action is required here. You go and you conduct yourself after the example of this story. When you see a need, then take some action. All right. The first verse we read was talking about don't let someone look down on your lack of expertise. I'll put it that way. Many times that's the way we classify youth, is someone that's inexperienced. Don't let someone look down on your lack of experience. Be an example. Take some action. Here he says, well, which one of those men was an example of a neighbor? Okay. I find that people's definition of neighbor, even for those here, can be different. We can live in one specific area and we can define neighbor in terms of our perspective, all right? And we can go to a different location and neighbor means something a little bit different. There's different distances. There's different parameters that's ascribed to neighbor. And Jesus here defined neighbor as the one that stopped and took some action in a time of need. All right? So if we are going to follow the example that Jesus said that we ought to follow, he says for us to go and do likewise. I'm not so much talking about being a neighbor as I am taking action today. All right? So we see a need. There's some action that needs to happen. We realize that there's an example to follow, and I'm not here to try to define the example this morning, but we realize there's action involved in us following an example. All right? So now look at another story. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're going to read this account in a couple of places, but let's go to Matthew 7 and verse 12. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 12, he says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And we know this as what? Golden rule, right? All right. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So I'd like to, you can read the other part. This appears to be the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to go now to Luke, the 6th chapter, and read this same basic concept over there, Luke in chapter 6, I believe it is. And we're going to start reading in verse 27. We're going to read several verses here. In verse 27, beginning, he says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, here's that verse again, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So there is a call, I believe, here to action. There's a call to action for us in the golden rule to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As you would that men would do unto you, do ye even so to them. So however you want to word that, Okay? There is a call to action. You know, the most difficult thing for us to take action in is the things that we don't think will do any good. That's the most difficult thing for us to get started on. If we can see immediate results, you know, like spoon in the ice cream, in the mouth, ah, that tastes good. Immediate results, you see? But if we realize that if I leave the ice cream in the freezer, or better yet, if I leave the ice cream in the supermarket, then my waistline will begin to diminish, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to take a while. It's not immediate. Surely one more bowl of ice cream is not going to put me over the edge. That's what we think. So it's harder for us to take that kind of action. So when the golden rule comes along and tells us, you know, we ought to do to others like we want them to treat us. And it's here in Luke, he puts it in the same context of our relationship with our enemies. Now, and he says here that I'm saying to you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Now, how motivating is that prospect? Not very. It's not very motivating to me. You know, I want to be a Christian, but those people don't like me. You see? And it's not very motivating to do good to them. But I want to tell you, I want to be an example of the believers. There's a call to action. You know, I can just pull back. And my spiritual field is going to look like the one in Proverbs, where the wall is crumbled down, it's all growled over with thorns and thistles and nettles, and no fruit, as our Sunday school lesson was about this morning. No fruit. Well, somewheres, there's going to have to take some action. We're going to have to get involved in. What am I trying to accomplish? I'm trying to accomplish something in this life with the help and the grace of God that'll ensure that I can meet Him in peace. Because it's more important than having money in the bank. It's more important than somebody liking me or not. Or being popular or not. It's more important than all of that. It's so important that it's the difference between an eternity of bliss and an eternity of torment. That's what's hanging on the balance. So I want to make sure that I get there. And I get there in confidence. I believe we can do that. But to do all of that, I believe there's some action that's involved. You know, it's much easier to expect someone to treat us right than to treat them like you think we ought, than treat them like we think we ought to. I'll say that again. It's easier to expect someone to treat us right than for us to treat them like we know we ought to treat them. Right? Why is that? You know, I can sit perfectly still and say nothing and have no expression on my face except just blank. And I can still expect something out of you. It'll take nothing. No effort whatsoever. But if I'm going to treat someone the way I really want them to treat me, it's going to take some action. If I want to build a relationship or fix a relationship, it's going to take some action. You know, it's so easy to have high expectations of others and take no action ourselves. That's easy. It is so easy to do that. But I believe that the gospel message is one of action. You know, we sing a song, it's different now. Well, what is different? It's different because God done something for me? Yes. But it ought to be different because we're doing something now. We're doing something to make ourselves available. We're trying to be an example of the believers. I don't want it to be evil spoken of. Lord, help me to do what I ought to do. I know what that golden rule says. You know, it's easier for us to list our expectations for society and what it should be doing than for us to do what we know we ought to be doing. You ever went through a list in your own mind? Well, they ought to do this, and they ought to do this, and everybody ought to know better, and well, if everybody ought to know better, then that means I probably know what's better, right? And if I know what's better, then am I doing it? Am I taking any action? Am I putting anything, any movement to this? Or if I'm sitting here expecting someone else to do it just to reinforce what I thought was right? See, we need to put some action in there. It's easy to observe that the church service didn't minister to my needs. It's pretty easy to come to that conclusion. I went to church and I went away feeling like it didn't do me any good. It's a whole lot easier to do that than to contribute what we should to minister to others, isn't it? You know, when you come and you're willing to praise the Lord verbally by lifting your hand in praise, by whatever is done, when we're willing to do that, that's some action. It's a whole lot easier to come in and not do anything and go home and say, didn't do anything for me. But see, I believe the gospel has something better for us. It's calling us to some action. So, I made up this little sentence here. I don't think it's just way out in left field, so I'm going to read it a couple times. I want you to think about it. The golden rule requires us to invest in a hypothetical, idealistic end result without taking into consideration the reality of the depravity of mankind. All right, I'm going to read that again. The golden rule requires us to invest in a hypothetically idealistic end result without taking into consideration the reality of the depravity of mankind. You know, I can look on and say, it's like pouring water on a duck's back. There ain't no good doing nothing. You know, it won't help nothing. But that's not what the golden rule tells me to do. The golden rule tells me to put some action, to reach out my hand, to offer assistance, to be the good Samaritan, if you will. This person is wounded. This person's got lots of troubles in their life. To extend a hand of friendship, to offer to help them heal up a little bit. Listen to their troubles. Take a little action here. You know, I believe Jesus did everything he possibly could to redeem mankind with this premise in mind. You know, if Jesus would have been like eating chocolate ice cream, like you and I eat chocolate ice cream, I assume you like that. If he'd have been like that, he'd have made one step in the direction of making that supreme sacrifice, and he'd have drawn back and says, I ain't doing this. Those people ain't, their people are not going to do it. They're not going to respond. You know, they've run me out of the synagogue. They've tried to push me off the cliff. They've done all of these things to me. They're not in the right frame of mind to accept what I've got to offer. I'm not going to do it. Could we have faulted him? No, not in our humanity we couldn't have. We wouldn't have faulted him at all. In fact, we feel real justified in not doing nothing, not doing anything. Many times. We feel justified. Might as well cast my pearls before the swine there. They're not just going to turn again and rend us. That's scripture, isn't it? That's not what the golden rule says. The golden rule says for me to do unto others like we'd like to have them do unto us. Go and put some action in it. Do something. Do something. Don't just sit there. Don't just stay in the same place. Do something. Jesus did. He did it all. Thankfully, we have a record down through history of those that were examples of believers. I'm thankful for the ones that we can start naming off down through history that have been there and have given themselves for this cause. And back years ago, before Christ, David said, is there not a cause? He's ready to take some action. His brothers were more experienced. They had more capability. And they were sitting there saying, boy, I wish this giant would go away. And David said, there's a cause. He's just an uncircumcised Philistine. I'll fight him. And when he went down there, the Goliath looked at him and said, you think I'm a dog or something? Do you realize what you're coming up against? I'm twice as big as you are, or whatever it was. What kind of answer did David get? Whose name was he coming in? The name of God, wasn't he? But he was willing to take some action. Did it look like he was going to just forfeit his life? That's what it looked like. But that's not the way it ended up. Don't the enemy make it look like that we're just forfeiting all of our abilities and our attributes and our resources? I don't know about you, but he makes it look like that to me. He makes it look like you're just going to pour yourself out and get nothing. But the scripture requires us to do something, to take some action. Unfortunately, there's been many down through time that has not taken advantage of the price of salvation that was paid by Jesus. You know the consequence of not taking action and being an example of the believers, of not taking action and doing likewise. You know what the consequences of that is? It's just to perpetuate the depravity of mankind. But every time we take action, I'm going to get a little closer to the Lord. I'm going to extend myself for the cause. We're taking action to decrease the depravity of mankind. You know what we tend to do? We tend to promise our contribution if someone will do our part. You ever seen those things? Two for one. You contribute 50 cents and somebody else will contribute 50 cents. So the charitable organization will get a dollar. If you'll do something, I'll do it. You meet me halfway and we'll do something. We'll get this problem taken care of. What does the golden rule say? As you would that men would do unto you, you do that. You do likewise. So you know what you really want? You want them to come all the way over to where you're at and say, I'm sorry. That's what you really want. You want them to come all the way over to where you're at and say, here, let me help you with that. If that's what we really want out of them, then isn't that what the Scripture telling us we ought to do? We ought to take some action? They might be just as wrong in the whole deal as they may be 100% the problem. Little story for you. Been a while back now. Truck came in, water pump's leaking. Told the man needs a water pump. Well, put one on. I put a water pump on. Big job. Probably half a day's work, put a water pump on. Get it done at 4:30, something like that. I go and drive it, come back, it's leaking. I got a new water pump from Ford. Not one from the parts store. It was a brand new from the manufacturer. Put it on there. And it was leaking. Guys, he's coming. He's down the road. You know, he's going to be here to pick this thing up. Looks like it's leaking out of that water pump. I pulled it off. And the new gasket. It's a rubber gasket. I pulled it out. And it looked like a mouse had took a bite out of that thing. Before they put it in there, in that little groove. That wasn't my fault. You know what I'd like to have? I wish somebody from Ford had come put that other water pump on. But they didn't. I had to take some action, though. I had to take some action and fix that. And the guy not only came and paid his bill, but he's brought other stuff to us. You know, if we want to make things better, you want your neighborhood to be better? We're going to have to take some action. We want our family situations to be better? We're going to have to take some action. We want our worship services to be better? We're going to have to take some action. We want our personal relationship with God to be better? He does so much for us now, I don't know why we would want more. We're going to have to take some action. We're going to have to study to show ourselves approved. We're going to have to apply ourselves. It's some action. That's where the result starts coming. We are such a blessed society and blessed people in our nation, and we continually just want to do less and get more. But Lord, help us to be willing to take some action and put our heart into the. I want this to be better. You know, it would be better if everybody else would do their part, right? But what about me? What about my action? What about my contribution? What action am I willing to take? I believe the golden rule is a call to action. Not observation. Alright? I believe the golden rule is a call to action, not observation. I believe our situations in life, whatever they may be, will only improve if someone will do what they know they ought to do. And why shouldn't that be you? Why shouldn't that be you? I believe our situations will improve if someone would do what they know they ought to do. So I want to end there. Why shouldn't that be you? Why shouldn't that be me? Why shouldn't we take action? I believe there's a call in the Scripture for us to take action. Lord, help me to not be complacent and looking for someone to do it for me, but to take action. My spiritual condition, my relationships, Lord, help me to live up to my own preaching. I want to be an example of the believers. You pray for me.